Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Deep left into the bleachers, a two-run homer.
A swing and a miss, ball game.
Liftoff.
And history marches on, 22 consecutive wins.
From the sports desk of the Akron Beacon Journal and Ohio.com, this is Leading Off with Ryan Lewis, a podcast on the Cleveland Indians.
Santana makes the catch! Ball game! The Indians have won the American League pennant!
The Cleveland Indians are going to the World Series!
Now, Ryan Lewis and Dan Kadar.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the podcast. This is Dan Kadar, and I'm joined, of course, by Ryan Lewis. Ryan, how are you?
Doing excellent, man. And tell you what, so we're recording this a little after 2 on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've had a lot of rain recently, but props to Mother Nature for this run of days where, for the most part, it's been between, like, 75 and 82, which is, like, magical. It's perfect. It's perfect grilling weather. Sit outside with like a nice tea or something. So, and right now, we're about a week out from the All-Star festivities. As of right now, that's the weather that we might be getting for those couple of days. There's a chance of rain, which would be kind of a shame during that stretch. But right now, it looks like it'll be really nice. So that would be a nice bonus to everything going on and people being able to go out and kind of enjoy the 3 or 4 days of stuff that they have going on in Cleveland. So that would be nice if this could continue, but we've been enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it has been nice. And like you said, I hope it holds out too. The 10-day forecast has some rain between now and the All-Star game, which is what we're going to talk about today. Some All-Star stuff. So hopefully the weather holds out, because it'll be nice in downtown Cleveland with a bazillion people there and the world's best baseball players taking place. Like I said, in downtown Cleveland, it'll be a fun time. So we're going to talk about that today a little bit. We are going to talk about, of course, the Home Run Derby also. We're going to talk about netting at baseball stadiums a little bit. And if we get to anything else, we'll get to it. If not, next week we're going to do like a Indians at the Midway Point podcast. So that's going to be the plan for next week. But this week, All-Star Game, Ryan, if you had to pick out one thing you're really looking forward to with the All-Star Game in Cleveland, what is it?
For just the game or the festivities?
Anything, period.
What are you shooting for? I've always been a derby guy. You know, I remember the 96 derby in Philly that when Bonds beat McGuire, and Bonds hits that home run, and he flips his bat and just walks off before it lands. That kind of sparked, you know, my fanhood of the Home Run Derby. Then it continued with McGuire at Fenway and the shows that Sosa put on and Josh Hamilton at Yankee. There's so many different things that just kind of make it a really fun experience and a fun thing to watch. And I love the new setup that they have, the new rules with the timer. I think it worked perfectly in Cincinnati a couple years ago when Todd Frazier, you know, took on some of the game's best in front of the home crowd and hit a couple of buzzer beater home runs, which is a fantastic term that we now have in our lexicon thanks to this. I really enjoy the format. I've always been a big fan of the Derby. You know, it was a lot of fun when everybody was hitting 15 or 20, it seemed, for a stretch 10 or 15 years ago. But that's always been kind of the thing that I've kind of always looked forward to. I think it's probably, you know, the best thing, the best All-Star festivity around sports, probably this and the dunk contest, although the dunk contest seems like it's kind of waned over the last couple of years in terms of interest. So I've always been a big fan of the Derby. I think the field will be really nice. I think there are a lot of guys that fans would love to see that aren't in it yet or haven't been invited yet, supposedly. But I think it's running into something that should be a lot of fun. And that's always been kind of my thing. But I think you might agree with that as a proponent of the big dumb home run hitter,
like, yes,
archetype in general. So we may be on the same page there, but that's always been my thing.
We absolutely are on the same page. And I also am a home run derby fan because, like you said, I like big, dumb power hitters usually. But this year, there's no Aaron Judge. There's no Cody Bellinger, players like that. Here's this year's field, and I'll tell you why I love it afterward. Of course, Carlos Santana is the headliner for us locally. He's in there. Pete Alonso of the Mets, this gigantic first baseman, is in. Christian Yelich, maybe the best baseball player alive right now, is in there. Josh Bell of the Pirates, Ronald Acuna of the Braves, and there's also Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of the Blue Jays. So, Ryan, I love this year's Home Run Derby in particular because it's just a fun, different group. Like, other than Yelich and, the local favorite Carlos Santana, it's a bunch of young guys who are, like, exciting, up-and-coming players who can crush the baseball. Like, Vladimir Guerrero has kind of not been great for the Blue Jays so far since being called up. I can't wait to watch him in the Home Run Derby. I was talking to a buddy the other day. He said Josh Bell needs to be in this because he hits the ball harder than anybody he's seen. So, like, from that aspect of it, I am so looking forward to the Home Run Derby, maybe more so than the All-Star Game itself. So that's so far there's six players, and I'm not sure when they're going to announce the other two. But I don't know. I have a list here of players I want to see fill those two spots. And I don't know why players wouldn't want to be in this, because the winner this year gets $1 million. But, like, Cody Bellinger said he's not doing it. Aaron Judge is only going to do it in Yankee Stadium, which is whatever. Is there a player you want to see fill one of those last two spots?
I think Joey Gallo has to be the first name. That'd be so much fun to watch.
Yes.
There are people who talk about his BP is something to behold. And especially in progressive field, the lefties are going to have a little bit of an advantage. Yelich, Santana, Bell, the guys who will be able to hit from the left side probably have a little bit of boost in terms of the betting odds and being one of the betting favorites. Joey Gallo would be so much fun. And that section of seats that used to be known as Pronkville, where when they redid the stadium, they removed a couple of the first rows in that section, so it's even farther back now. Al is a guy who can absolutely reach those sections, and he's one of those guys that would be a total showstopper. He would probably essentially become the headliner, even in the field that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
People would be looking forward to watching Gallo. So I think he's got to be the first name, but I'm curious to see who else is on this list here.
Hmm. Well, I will say in regard to Gallo, who is on the list, according to the Dallas Morning News, as of this recording, he hasn't been invited yet. He's passed on previous years, but he's having a great season. So he would be absolutely one of the guys I want to see in there. Another one that I think would just be fun, and he's kind of having a pretty rough year, Nomar Mazara of Texas. He has the longest home run this year, 505 feet, and he has two of the three longest home runs. So he might be like a one-round wonder type of home run derby player. But boy, that one round will be fun if he connects on a few.
I like that one, because just about everything I said, Joey Gallo, maybe to like a slightly less extent,
mm-hmm.
Especially in terms of the height, but I guess in terms of the power, Mazara's got it. On the left side, he hit that 500-foot bomb the other day, like you mentioned. That would be a lot of fun. I like that. There are a lot of Rangers lefties that should probably be in this that might not end up doing it, which would be a little bit of a shame.
Yeah.
I like that one, though.
To some degree, Jorge Soler of the Kansas City Royals is in that same category. He's coming around this year, and he has some incredible power. Here's one that I really want to see that's not going to happen, though. Clint Frazier. And it's not going to happen because he's back in the minor leagues. I just think it would be a lot of fun. I mean, he's kind of been inconsistent since getting called up, but the power, everybody around here knows about the fast hands and the power potential of Clint Frazier. I think he would be a fun entry at Progressive Field. And the other one that I have here, well, I have a couple. Gary Sanchez of the Yankees is an obvious one. I think he's turned it down, or he's considering it. He told reporters on Friday in London, and this is from CBS Sports, that he hasn't decided whether he'll do it or not. So it makes me wonder if he got the invite, he could be one of these two players. But I think he would be fun in there. I think his teammate Luke Voit would be fun in there. And I kind of also really want to see Shohei Ohtani of the Angels in there.
So that's the one I was waiting for us to get. I was curious to see. I didn't want to steal your thunder, but Shohei would be a lot of fun.
Yes.
And people used to say that Ichiro, during BP, put on an absolute show, and that he would absolutely win the Home Run Derby if he ever decided to do it. That's what some people have also said about Shohei Ohtani. But Ohtani, of course, has kind of the game power that he can display. That would be a really, really fun one as well.
So, you know, if anybody listening has a guy that they want to see in the Home Run Derby, let us know. And for the future, I want to see an old-timers Home Run Derby, just for fun. bring in the fences a little bit, you know, whatever. I think that would be fun. But, Ryan, what else from the All-Star Game kind of has your attention beyond the Home Run Derby on Monday?
Well, you know, I think for fans, it's going to be a lot of fun to even just go through like the pregame introductions and things like that. It's Carlos Santana starting at first. Frankie Lindor in his fourth consecutive All-Star game. Brad Hand in his first with the Indians, at least. I think that will be a very cool experience for people to be able to kind of showcase those things. I'm also a fan. I like the celebrity softball game. Just some kind of stupid, fun little thing that they do every year. Probably comes from, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old me watching the Derby, loving the Derby. Then they always would show the softball game after the Derby. So those two things probably kind of coincide. But, you know, just those things are fun. Drew Carey's going to be there. Jamie Foxx is going to be there. Stipe Miocic is going to be there. Jenny Finch, as always, will be there. So, you know, those things are just always kind of fun. The Indians are going to have two guys in the Futures game, which is Sunday night right after the celebrity softball game, Nolan Jones and Daniel Johnson. So pretty much anywhere that you go from Sunday to Tuesday, you know, the Indians are going to be pretty well represented in just about everything. They've got Playball Park. I'm honestly mostly looking forward to Monday night at the Derby. That's kind of my event that, you know, I just love watching and hope. The format's fantastic, so. But you know, just about everything the Indians are going to have their hands in. I'm going to be able to showcase Cleveland a little bit. The streets will be a zoo.
Yes.
In terms of trying to get downtown, but you know, this will just be something where people can kind of enjoy. Again, I'm hoping that the weather is nice, just so fans, you know, can kind of take full advantage of this, because this probably won't be happening for quite some time after this. With the Indians getting in 97, and then. This year. So I do hope that your people can have a good time. I was talking with someone that I know who has all-star seats throughout the entire schedule of events in right field, which is about the perfect place to be for the Derby and some other things. So, hopefully everyone can just have a good time. The game should be nice to see in terms of just the hometown ovation that Francisco Lindor has talked about, you know, wanting, he's been kind of hoping to be able to cherish that all year, and with his selection, he'll be able to do that. So, hopefully, everyone has a good time. Dan, I'll be texting you during the Derby, and we can perhaps make some friendly wagers or something. We'll see.
Absolutely, and a couple other things that I want to see for the All-Star stuff. I want to, first of all, The Miz is back in the celebrity softball game. He's the reigning MVP, and he's a very proud Northeast Ohioan. So there's that. I want to see the reception for Michael Brantley, who was in his first year with the Astros after leaving the Indians this offseason. I think that's going to be great. What else? You mentioned the Futures game. I think that's going to be fun. I can't wait to see Johnson in there, because that trade looks amazing for the Indians right now, where they got him. But yeah, the All-Star stuff. If anybody missed any coverage that we've done so far, there's a ton of it up at ohio.com/Indians. Marla Ridenour has a really good story on how kind of Cleveland is preparing for it. If you're looking for things to do where you don't have to buy a ticket, like Home Run Derby tickets are like $2,000 some places, Craig Webb has a really great story on stuff you can do baseball related that is not $2,000. So, and Ryan, I really like your Sandy Alomar story. So there's that. Moving on from the All-Star game, Ryan, you also have a story on netting in baseball, and it blows my mind that in 2019 that the netting doesn't go further than it is currently in a lot of stadiums. And I know the commissioner of baseball seems to have this feeling that it's something that they'll tackle in the off season as a league and that kind of thing. I just don't know why it's so difficult to just slap some netting up and extending it down. What are your thoughts on netting extension?
Yeah, I think it's time. It's probably been time.
Yeah.
You know, with anything like this, the key is to do it before an event happens that absolutely forces you into it. And, you know, some might argue that a two-year-old being hit in the head, which is what happened in Houston, and the family attorney for that two-year-old girl has said that she had skull fractures, she had some other brain injuries. Some would argue that that's the event that should have already forced all of this. You know, there have been two events since, one in Chicago, and one involving Cody Bellinger. I think it's time. I do know that whenever this is brought up, there are some pretty severe, counter reactions to people, especially those with season tickets, who do not want their view altered with netting. I get that. That being said, there have been too many cases, and I don't love the counter argument about how if you can't react, don't sit there. I just don't think that's the right way to go about things in terms of who should be able to enjoy a game and where, especially when we're talking about fan safety. And to put, I guess, a little bit of a personal anecdote to it, I think it was 2 years ago, my wife went to a game with her friend and her friend's parents, and they had quite literally the first seats just beyond the camera well by the first base dugout. So they were in the first seats not covered by netting. And I was nervous the entire game, to be honest. Just not a lot, but I was just little nervous the entire day. And not because they don't pay attention. They do pay attention. But when you have a ball that's rocketed into the crowd at 110 miles an hour or something like that, you're not always going to be able to react. And I'm always shocked that these things don't happen more often, because you'll see a ball line into the crowd and it's curving and it'll ricochet off a seat and go like four sections down or something like that. And you just kind of think, man, if that had been someone's skull, how dangerous that could be. And I did get an email from someone that said that she was hit at a game a couple years ago and had some facial injuries. These things do happen. And I don't think that Major League Baseball wants to find themselves in a situation like the NHL did in 2002 when a 13-year-old girl was killed at a game in Columbus, and then they put some netting up. You know, that event kind of forced the NHL's hand. I don't think Major League Baseball should follow that or think that they want to follow it. In terms of how the netting can be implemented, you know, like like a progressive field along the left field line, the wall gets real low. So I don't know if that causes a problem or how much of an issue that causes, or if it would force the Indians to do some things with that area of the wall in order to have netting there. I don't know. You know, there may be some stadiums that run into some trouble and may have to do some things. So perhaps that's why some stadiums might not be able to do things in season. I'm not really sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking with Jake Bowers a little bit. Bowers has lined a ball that hit off of a fan's face that sent her to the hospital. And he likes how Detroit does it. In Detroit, they go like three or four sections farther than the dugout. So it's a little bit farther down right field, and it's very far down left field. Actually, I can't remember if I have that reversed or not, but one side is farther than the other just because of the situation of their ballpark. So in terms of people literally going foul pole to foul pole, that might be kind of difficult. But if you go a little bit farther, you're going to kind of erase the chance of some of these things happening. And you're not going to be able to completely erase any danger of going to a game everywhere in the park. But for the parts that you can alter and that are at the most risk, I think it's time. Dan, I'm not sure what your thoughts on this are. I know that some people are very against this and do not want it. But I just think it's time. There have been kind of too many gruesome injuries and too many videos that are just so cringe-worthy to watch, and people going to the hospital. And it's sure, it's been a reality of the game for a long time, but if we have the chance to rectify kind of this issue, I think it's time that they did it.
Yeah, that is my opinion, and it has been for a long, long time. I'll never forget being at a minor league game and a woman a section over getting hit right in the face and the ball flying all the way over into my section off of her face and her face essentially blowing open from getting hit with a baseball. And it's a visual that is haunting. So... You know, it's a thing that I just don't understand why there's a problem with it, really. And I know, you know, hey, just pay attention. Well, there's a couple things to that. It's, one, some people don't react that fast to a ball screaming at them, especially, like, the woman that was a section over from me was an elderly woman. So she was paying attention, but I don't know that she could react fast enough. And two, you know, it's a different day and age now compared to, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years ago even, where it's part of our lives being on a phone. As sad as that sounds, it's a fact of life. So people aren't always paying attention. So, you know, for that reason, I just think it needs to happen. Quite frankly, it just doesn't seem very expensive to buy some netting. I don't know.
And it's just the only question I have is in terms of like tying the netting down. Like, what do you actually need? So, like, the Indians have it, as do every team has it. They have it along the dugout, so I know that that's a little bit easier because you have all that spacing and you can tie it to. You know, the kind of the base of the stadium. So I don't know if that becomes a challenge in left field. I imagine that worst case scenario, teams maybe just have to alter certain walls to be able to kind of facilitate that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sound like that big of a deal. It may take some time, but it doesn't sound like too much of a challenge from that standpoint. But I really disagree with people thinking that it's going to ruin ticket sales or lower ticket sales just because a higher percentage of people will be looking through a net. The most expensive tickets in the ballpark are right behind home plate, and that's always been behind netting. For quite a long time, it's been behind netting, and I don't think that a lot of people tend to complain about that. And it certainly won't affect ticket sales as much as telling elderly people or anyone who doesn't have great reflexes or think they have great reflexes that they need to sit in right field or in the upper deck or something like that. So I think this is the easiest fix. There's too many cases of of, you know, people having severe permanent facial injuries, especially, you know, Jake Bowers. So Bowers lined a ball off of a fan that's entered the hospital, and he was also in the stadium when another fan got hit, not off his bat, but that fan ended up losing an eye at a minor league game. It's just something where if it's fixable, it's probably time to fix it, and you certainly want to fix it before some really, really challenging things happen, and it kind of forces you into the situation. The key is to not wait too long. The key is to kind of be proactive. So, you know, my hope is that Major League Baseball will pass something this winter, similar to what they did a couple years ago when they did pass something that had every team extend their netting farther down the dugouts. I think it's time to kind of take that next step.
Well said. So that's kind of our thoughts on netting and whatnot. Ryan, do we have anything else this week you want to get to before we head out of here?
I think we're good. I don't have any more beach safety tips. I'm kind of, that well has run out, so
sure.
we can just kind of get out of here, and you know, next week we can have some fun with it being right during the All-Star stuff, so we can kind of get into that next week.
No July 4th safety tips this week from you? Nothing of that sort?
Here's a tip. If you're grilling, toast your buns. It's very key. It's a key element to the grilling experience. Just a little bit. Don't go too far. But just a little toasting of the buns. Get some good char on your hot dogs. It's a great combination. That's the tip. Safety tip is just to not be stupid, I guess.
Right. And calling back last week's tip, make sure to use your sunscreen so you don't grill your other buns. So anyway, that is going to do it. That is going to do it here on Leading Off with Ryan Lewis. You can find Ryan on Twitter. He's at by Ryan Lewis. And you can find all of his stuff and more over at ohio.com/Indians. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you next week.